What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Venezuela, the rogue state of Venezuela, led by a man named Maduro, who is an illegitimate president. In addition to that, some millions, perhaps as many as 7 million Venezuelans have fled for better food, better working conditions, working at all, hospitals, schooling, and many of them are in the United States seeking refuge in New York City, other major metropolitan areas. Meanwhile, back home, the Maduro regime is sustained by our adversaries. That would be Russia. That would be Tehran. China's present. There's reason to believe Hezbollah is very active despite its defeat in Lebanon. That is Venezuela today. At the same time, Venezuela is famous and prominent for being one of the best economies of the 20th century with its oil, its crude oil. And I welcome Alison Federka, of the geopolitical futures and analysts, who can put together the crude oil deposit that Venezuela has access to. And there's always more oil to be found where Venezuela is part of the world, with the ambition of the United States under Trump the first term and Trump now the second term to rid ourselves of the poisonous regime. What is to be done? Alison, a very good evening to you. The Trump people have moved very quickly in all directions, including Venezuela. They've revoked the special permission granted by the Biden administration for Venezuelans to stay in the United States. At the same time, they've been very clear that there's no more oil to be extracted from Venezuela and sold easily on the world market, especially to the U.S. Have you seen any more instance of the Trump people moving against Venezuela? Those two things, the refugees and the oil. Is there any other concern that we're watching? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Those are the two main things that the U.S. is concerned about. They're concerned about migration and the problems that if criminal members of different countries can make their way into the U.S., that's a major issue for them. They're concerned about the Maduro regime in general, creating a safe haven for both criminal organizations as well as foreign powers that are not friendly to the United States. And oil obviously is a means of economic livelihood for Venezuela, which is why it's so often the focus.
The oil from Venezuela is of a particular kind. It's called heavy. And that means that it needs special attention at refineries. I understand from your reporting and elsewhere that the U.S. has those refineries. Is it any longer receiving Venezuelan oil?
So the latest statistics from the U.S. agencies only go up until about the end of 2024. Those show that the U.S. was still receiving some level of oil, but we are expecting all of that to stop. They have the refining capabilities, they have the mixing capabilities, but overall, even going back 5-6 years, the share of Venezuelan oil in the U.S. market has been significantly reduced and is no longer playing a prominent role for U.S. energy consumption that it once did.
And Venezuela, does it have alternatives? I think you list Mexico, Colombia, and Ecuador as markets. Do they have the refineries that can handle it?
They do not necessarily have the refineries that can handle it. They would need to construct new ones. Mexico is probably the best positioned in terms of how well its oil industry has been developed. They also sometimes can use Venezuelan oil by mixing it with lighter crude or other oil from other locations. But because of the heaviness to this oil, it is not as consumer friendly and ready as other providers.
So Venezuela is now facing a countdown to no income at all to sustain the regime through oil, at least. What does this Chevron matter? What does that look like?
So the issue with Chevron is that there are companies from the United States. Chevron is the most well-known one, and actually another U.S. company called Amos Global Energy Management is another example of American companies that have bought into joint ventures or projects or operations in Venezuela and are seeking permission from the U.S. Treasury to be able to participate in the Venezuelan market. Chevron initially did that to be able to pay back debt that it owed to different actors and shareholders from the operations in Venezuela. And the reason that the companies are interested in maintaining their presence in Venezuela is because there still is a high energy potential in the country. There's a lot of space for improvement and rejuvenation of the oil sector once the day comes that sanctions are lifted. And from the U.S. perspective, it's not necessarily contrary to their interests to be well positioned with private companies in Venezuela that would be capable of acting in the event that sanctions are lifted.
The enemy camp, Russia, China, can they handle the oil?
So they all have participated and currently participate in Venezuela's oil industry. Right now, China has been using Venezuelan oil to pay back as payback for loans that they have given the Venezuelan government. Russia can only do so much. They can sometimes buy some of the oil, but Russia's a producer. So is Iran. So they're not actually interested in any purchases from Venezuela in terms of the oil. They might potentially be interested in helping with technology or production inside Venezuela. But again, those two countries, Iran and Russia, have so many issues domestically with their own energy production that Venezuela will take a back seat to those matters.
Other sources of income, that would be the black market and transnational criminals, especially narco-terrorism. You report that's all integrated in the Maduro government. Is that enough cash for them?
Well, it depends on what you mean with enough. They also have a very strong illegal gold market and also a legal gold market that is under sanctions, I still believe, that can provide a lot of revenue for the government. What you call enough is a little bit open to interpretation. It is a very lucrative business in the black market, dealing with all sorts of different types of products. It is enough for the Maduro regime to get by and pay off those that help keep it in power and provide enough food and goods to stay in power. I would argue that it is not enough to revive the economy and rebuild the economy that's needed.
The reason I'm poking around for this confrontation is that Allison has summarized all of this by saying the coming showdown between Washington and Caracas. We're certainly building a case for it. Let's check in on Guyana, because that came up during the Biden administration. Guyana has, according to the exploration, an enormous amount of very good oil just off the coast. And Caracas has made noise about it being Venezuelan oil, not Guyana oil. Where is that dispute? Is it moving?
So far, it has not really moved since the last rhetorical uprising that we've seen on both sides. There are American companies with interest and investments in the Guyana deposits. Both countries, particularly Guyana, have been cautious about how they maneuver in the area. No one wants to trigger an armed confrontation over this. It is very unlikely, but this is also why they are very cautious in terms of where they actually want to start producing and are trying to keep it more about territorial claims and the map before anyone moves forward, because what they don't want is for perhaps Venezuela to attack Guyana. Venezuela doesn't want anyone from, say, the U.S. coming in to protect U.S. interests and business interests. So there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of money at stake. But the deterrence of actual fighting has been enough to prevent any major conflict from breaking out.
The neighborhood, Petro in Colombia, Lula da Silva in Brazil, that's enough. Are they still maintaining strong support for Maduro? That was true a couple of years ago, or have they backed off?
They have backed off largely from their support of Maduro. However, that doesn't mean that they can ignore him or that they can't attend to relations with Venezuela. And that's primarily because they get a lot of Venezuelan refugees. And so by nature, they are dragged into having to maintain some sort of contact with the Maduro government, even if they don't necessarily support it as much as they did, say, you know, 4 or 8 years ago. In the case of Lula, and more recently with Petro. Of the two, Petro finds himself, I think, in the most complicated situation because of the pressure that Venezuela has created on the Colombian government and the Colombian economy through its relationship with criminal groups, and then also through the hosting of Venezuelan refugees. It is one of the largest countries impacted by the outflow of Venezuelans.
Alison Fedurka is an analyst for Geopolitical Futures. It makes a very clear presentation that Maduro's on a very short leash, and it's getting shorter all the time. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.